Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the news story from the Missouri Independent, and we covered it here at KMOX as well, about radioactive material in the Westlake landfill. What's going on in Bridgeton is a story that we have been following for a while here on this show. I know that news outlets in the city have been following it. It's gotten some national attention as well. And to talk about recent developments there at the landfill is Dawn Chapman, founder of Just Moms STL. Dawn is with us in studio today on KMOX. Dawn, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So what is different? Because we've known about the smoldering issue. We're having technical issues. There was the smoldering something. There's a fire that has been underground that I think was discovered something like 15 years ago. And there is concern now that it's getting close to where the radioactive material is or might already be there. Where exactly are we right now?
So I think where we are right now is the Environmental Protection Agency just released a new map about a week and a half ago showing all the areas on site that we know now have radioactivity on them that they went decades and didn't test for. So now they've tested, they found it. And what the state of Missouri is saying is okay, so every single site on that you have tested has radioactivity, but there's this area where the fire is that you cannot test, that you have not tested. So we think there's a high probability there could be radioactivity there. Therefore, please come in and take over the whole site because this is more than we can handle.
Quick question. Why can you not test that part?
That's a good question. So the thought is that if you poke a hole in the ground and introduce oxygen, the fire will follow the oxygen and come to the surface.
Okay, so
because it's an oxygenless, smoldering fire,
that's
a flameless fire underground,
almost like a backdraft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the expectation is that are they just waiting for the fire to eventually die out, or
it's all they can do. There is no known way to put it out. It's like a coal mine fire, if you will.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate that answer because we live next to it, you know, but that's the level of uncertainty that we live with every day around this site.
A smoldering fire like this, is this common within landfills?
It can be. And I think that's the frustrating part, right? Is like if it's that common, which there are other landfills that are experiencing a fire, it's like, why would you let this one catch on fire knowing it's got the Manhattan Project in it?
Right. So then what are they going to do then other than just wait for it? It doesn't seem to me that the people who live in the area are getting the reassurance that they need.
They're not. And I think the problem is that until the fire goes out, we're really not going to know. And I think what we are trying to get them to focus on is getting the areas of radioactivity that they can remove, getting that the heck out of the community and as far away from the St. Louis region as we can get it. And then trying to hold that fire steady and still, which it is being held steady right now, and making sure it never moves, right? It never progresses, and it is allowed to just burn itself out.
Why does it seem like there's not enough movement on this issue, even from the EPA? Unless I'm reading the situation wrong, there have been a lot of times over the last few years where it's almost like they're saying, it's fine, everything's okay. At least that's the impression I'm getting from them. Are people in the area and people like you, are you getting that same impression?
We are. I'm very disappointed in EPA's recent comments saying, well, there's no evidence that it's burning. Well, there's no evidence it's not because you never tested. And I'm like, I think this agency really needs to focus on telling the truth, which is sometimes you just don't know. And for us living next to the site, I would rather tell somebody from a federal agency or regulator look at me and say, hey, I just don't know. I don't have that answer versus make one up that's not a real answer. That makes us feel a level of uncomfortable, right? That's just not fair on top of everything else that's going on at the site.
You mentioned the EPA, and last week we also brought up the Missouri Independent, Maria Kina here in KMOX, local news sources who have been following this story. And the long form piece in the Missouri Independent a while back, it it seemed like people were just passing the buck, going, well, it was this agency, the Nuclear Energy Agency, that doesn't exist anymore. So we handed it off to this agency. Well, this agency said it's not our purview anymore, and back and forth. So with the new director of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, what have you heard from him?
So we were thrilled to hear that he has committed to touring the site, because I do think it's something you need to see in person. And, you know, to the press point, we're really pushing that members of press be allowed to be on that tour, because I think that that's the eyes and ears of St. Louis, right, mm-hmm. and the region, which have to be brought in. But I think that I'm very hopeful, at least at Westlake, that we can get this cleanup started. With the other sites, I think him coming and visiting that probably sets a precedent for maybe the head of the Department of Energy, right, to come out and do the same at the other sites they're responsible for.
What is your communication with Senator Hawley been like? He's been out in front of this, it seems like, for a while now.
So I have to say, I mean, he really does an amazing job, and really a shout out to his staff. One thing about them, similar to the St. Louis media, is that every document that I send them, I know they read, and he reads personally. And I think that so they are constantly caught up and right where we are lockstep. That's what it takes. But I think that, you know, with the new administration and with him pushing, and then hopefully with March coming, right, the CR package being talked mm-hmm. about, maybe we have a chance for RECA.
Why do you think Senator Hawley gets it, but others don't get it, as far as him, you know, he's so passionate about it and others don't get it?
I think you have to remember that our relationship with him goes back to when he was attorney general, and he was in charge of the fire at that point, and there was a lawsuit going on. So he became attorney general, and this just kind of got dropped in his lap. So he probably is more up to speed than others, just because historically he's been this has been in his wheelhouse and stuff that he's had to deal with. Now on the federal side of it, now he's in charge of the radioactivity, right? And not so much the fire.
So how often do you or your organization have communication with his staff?
Many times per week, and sometimes on the weekends. And I think, you know, that's true also with Senator Schmidt's staff. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that our relationship, and you know what, that's true with Attorney General Andrew Bailey's staff. Like, there is a very broad coalition of elected officials that are lockstep, right? Just because Senator Hawley is loudest and in the press a lot doesn't mean he's the only one. And there's a coalition of Democrats as well, right? Like out west, Senator Lujan, you know, everybody's lockstep on this.
You worked with Cori Bush when she was in office, and now Wesley Bell has taken her position. Have you had contact with him?
I have. You know, Congressman Bell is working on getting up to speed, and he's coming along fast. This is like drinking out of a fire hose,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, the amount of up to speed he has to get, but a lot of that is because the St. Louis press has done such an excellent job with coverage. I can just send him press stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it is, like we were talking about this, Ranj and I, last week, were pulling out maps and looking at the different landfills. But just to, like, a super break it down 101, so we know that the Westlake landfill is radioactive, you know, top to bottom on the surface, deep down. The Bridgeton landfill, which had the subsurface, so just below the surface, smoldering event, we didn't know if that was radioactive. We were afraid that that smoldering event would hit the Westlake landfill, which is radioactive for sure. But now, with the potential radioactive material contamination in the smoldering event at Bridgeton, are we talking like deeper below the surface? Are we talking like a physical distance? Where is that radioactive material in relation to the smoldering event, if I had to draw a picture?
I'm going to use the answer that I wish they'd give us, which is we just don't know. And neither do the federal agencies, because while you have a big complex, right, with Westlake and Bridgeton, mm-hmm. they really were a hole in the ground, right?
Yeah.
It's not separated as the names are, if you will, like from a geography standpoint. And I think that I think the state's right. This is not your typical municipal landfill, which is what they regulate. It's time for the feds to come in and get their Superfund waste, their radioactive waste. And I think even if it's not now, a lot of this, you have to remember that there will be some pockets of radioactivity left behind on this site. There are some deep pockets that simply can't be cleaned. So who's to say in the future those don't migrate over to that side? That's why it's important that the feds have the whole complex.
So what's your level of confidence this is going to happen, that they will take it over?
I'm in the 80s today. I don't think they have a choice. And I think that I really would hope that EPA would stop, though, fighting it and would, you know, the fact that we want EPA to take this over should be a vote of confidence, you would think, right, from the community. So hopefully they stop fighting it and we can get a working deal going for that.
What is the community feeling right now about this, and what more do you need?
I mean, the community is really devastated. We're not in a good place emotionally right now. And even this morning, you know, I had somebody living next to the site right now that messaged me, and it just broke my heart talking about her ongoing illnesses and her fear. And is this really going to happen? Mm-hmm. And I think we've had a level of endurance, right, for the past 15 years that we shouldn't have had to have. And I think that's starting to wear thin with this announcement. And I think EPA is going to have to step it up and come up with a date to sink a shovel in real soon.
It's such a devastating story, because if you've been exposed, if you're ill, if you've lost family members, not that it's too late, but it's too late for the family members you lost, the family members who are ill, and you're trying to save future generations and future people. We have friends who it hits close to home because grew up in Coldwater Creek. And so many members of that family have like thyroid cancer and bizarre cancers in different glands and so forth. And it's, again, I think it's so important to always have hope. But it's like, okay, we've already suffered. We want to make sure people in the future don't suffer.
That's really, you just really hit the nail on the head there. That is the hardest thing that Karen and I deal with, is having to fight so hard and plant a tree that we will never live to see, be able to sit under, right? Like, it's too late for us. And even our family's illnesses and Karen's illnesses, those aren't covered under RECA. Yeah. It's not, you know, so we're fighting for a program for people that's going to help them, but it's not a 100% fix. And I think that is what makes this so heartbreaking and why it's so important he come out and visit, because I want him to meet the people that he's too late for. And I want them to have their story, feel like their story was noticed. And they want that, because they know that this is coming too late for them. And I think it's the least we can do for them is to document what they've been through and give them an opportunity to make this better for somebody else.
So what people listening might want to know is how they can help you. What other than going to justmomsstl.org and donating, is there anything they can do?
You know, the donation, I'm going to have to plug that today, because we didn't expect to be in a federal legislation fight. We are a very small nonprofit and we are both impacted. And I think we are going to have to take trips to D.C. That's going to be very scary. It's going to be scary to get on a plane, to be very honest, and land at that airport. But we are also going to have to host meeting space for when the administrator comes into town, things like that. So any donations or any grants anybody knows of, please pass those our way. But the other thing is, follow us on Facebook. And we have a website. We have Westlake Landfill Facebook. We have justmoms.org and .com. We have Just Moms Facebook. Get involved. An email to an elected official matters at this point.
JustMomsSTL.org is the website. There's a donate button. It's right at the top of the page. You can click on that. Dawn Chapman, the founder of Just Moms STL, thank you for coming in and telling us the story. We want you to keep us updated. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you all for covering this the way you have for the past decade plus.
That is Dawn Chapman with us. It is Chris and Amy on KMOX.